Okay. So it says over here, Lemechze ba'anpa ein kivas girei kashta. Now what does this mean? This means appearing before the eyes. Lemechze means to appear. Lemechze means to see. Be'anpa means before your eyes. This is what, over here, this expression is describing the Malachi Hasharis. The Malachim, what do Malachi Hasharis look like? Not everyone is like Meir, who gets to see the Malachi Hasharis all the day. You know, May, you know the famous Zvart.
My Malachi Hasharis are in Israel.
What do you mean they're in Israel?
She went to Israel, my Malachi Hasharis.
Malachi Hasharis, your wife? You know, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you go to the bathroom. When you go to the bathroom, you're supposed to say to the Malachi, excuse me. You say,
that's my Malachi Hasharis.
Before you go to the bathroom, you say, Hischabdu Mechubadim. You say to them, may you honor yourself. In other words, you say to the Malachim, it's not necessary for you to enter into the Beis HaKisui with me.
Right.
Just park yourselves over here for a few minutes until I do my thing and I'll come out. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you say, before you go to the Beis HaKisui, Hischabdu Hischabdu mechubodai. Honor yourself, you honored ones. So today, did you know anyone who says this today before they go to the Beis HaKisui? You see outside in the shul, the whole way, the young Israel people saying this the whole day when they go to the Beis HaKisui? I never saw anyone say this. Why not? How come no one says it today? Because no one sees them. No one sees the Malachi Hasharis. So if you don't see the Malachi Hasharis, you shouldn't say. So there's a famous story, and they say this for every single Rosh Hashiva. They say that.
I don't see him Friday night either.
You don't see Friday either. Good kasha. You're saying good kasha. Good kasha. But so there's a Rosh Shiva. They say this at every single Rosh Shiva. And they had a Talmud. And the Talmud said to Rosh Shiva, I know the Olam, the Minig is not to say it. When they go to the Beis HaKisui, because they don't see the Malachim. But the Rebbe, I see them. I see the Malachim. So Mela, should I say, before I go to the Beis HaKisui, should I say, Hischabdu mechubodai. Should I tell the Malachim to stand down? So, Rebbe, why wouldn't you want to say it? Why? If you take a see the Malachim, why? Mechze ki yehoira. I don't want to show off. People, they see me in the hallway and they see when I go to the Beis HaKisui, I say, Hischabdu mechubodai. I don't want to show off to the other Talmid, they'll get jealous of me. So the Rebbe, he strokes his beard and he says, no, it's a very good shaila what to do in your case. You see the Malachim, they escort you. You don't want to be a Balgaiva. You know, I don't know what the answer is. I have a solution. Why don't you ask the Malachim to paskin for you? You don't think it's funny? All right, I guess not. And Blaze, you don't think it's funny, that joke?
It is. I had that one. It was a good thing.
Okay, I told this over 100 times. Okay, now so over here, Lemech, so over here, this tells us over here in this expression. What
I would have asked him a different question.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I would have asked him, are they male or female?
Oh, it's a very good shaila. Yes, it's a very tough shaila. A malachim male is look a better shaila. Is the Ribbono Shel Olam, is he a male or a female?
Definitely a female.
Why?
And she, because a male doesn't have that kind of sense of humor.
But I'll prove to you, Hashem is a male. Because it says in Chazal that Hashem wears tefillin. And
so
women.
A woman can wear tefillin
also. No, women don't wear tefillin. Yeah. They don't.
If you say that in Shemayim you can wear tefillin, then you can, a woman can wear tefillin in Shemayim too.
All right, maybe there wasn't a good answer to get into this discussion. Ich weiß nicht, let's go weiter. Lemech ze. No one came back to tell us. No. Oh, I know you're gonna go. This is gonna go down the wrong path. Let's not go down this path. All right, let's. So, what do Malachim look like? Lemerze bi'anpa ein kivaz girei kashta. So we actually
the reason we don't see the Malachim is because they look to us like shnaris, and not everyone runs away from the shnaris. So
say it again. They look like what? What?
Shnaris. They look like shnaris.
Who says they look like shnaris? Shnaris. Who says?
That's what they look like. They have packages and their hands is outstretched. So people run away from them. Try to escape them.
All right. Lemechze bi'anpa, this means they look before our eyes. The appearance that they have in our presence is kivas, like girei kashta, like arrows of fire. Arrows of kashta. Kashta means of a bow. Kashta means a bow. So we read it backwards. Gire means an arrow. Kashta means a bow. These two words over here mean an arrow that is coming forth from a bow. Kivos means like. And ba'anpa e means to the eyes. The appearance of a malach to us is lemechze they look, ba'anpa ein towards our eyes. Ba'anpa means towards. They look that facing our eyes. They look kivos like arrows shooting out of a bow and an arrow. Someone shot them. This is a Kabbalistic concept. Okay, bows and arrows are very Kabbalistic concepts. We know that on Lag BaOmer, what do? We shoot bows and arrows. Okay, there's a minute. Why? Okay, not for now. There are different reasons why. But when you learn Akdamos, and it says over here that if you want to know what a malach looks like an arrow shooting out of a bow, that right away gives you a whole new dimension of what exactly is going on Lag BaOmer. Another thing that's all over the Gemara talks about people having children. The marital act, okay, a man and a woman. So the Gemara talks about that this action is called an arrow coming forth from a bow. So obviously a bow and arrow represents something very, very powerful. Conception is not a small matter. Conception is creation. This action represents Maisa Bereshis, creation, the creation of another human being. Each, there are three partners in creation. Hashem, husband and wife. And this action is described with this term, and it's all over Shas, this terminology. Obviously, these are very significant things. Okay, next thing. Next expression. L'chol asad d'mishtalchin z'rizin be'ashvasa. Wherever they go, now again, we're describing Malachim. By the way, Akdamos is one of the primary sources learning about Malachim. Okay, this is, these certain people, some people, they love this type of stuff. Some people can't, they cannot tolerate this type of stuff. And people who really are into Shalom Aleichem, Everton. Can I help you?
I'm doing vases and I don't have a tablecloth here.
There's plaza tables over here. Over here, it's over here.
Yeah, give me anything. Give me one.
There's some plastic.
No, an all plastic one. Oh, okay. Yeah. Then I'll be there.
All right. Sorry about that. Okay, next. Next words over here is l'chol asad d'mishtalchin z'rizin be'ashvasa. Wherever the malachi hashores are dispatched, they're very quick. Akdamos is one of the primary sources to learn about what malachim look like. They told us, we did some of the listening over here. We have the next one is wherever they are sent, they hasten with ashvas. Ashvasa means trepidation, with fear. L'chol asar, to every location, d'mishtalchin, where they are dispatched, z'rizin, a malach goes very quickly. It goes there be'ashvas. Ashvasa means with fear. It does so with over here in my English it says it's trepidation. Over here on the Sfari it says anxiety, anxiously. I don't know if that's the right word. I like this word better.
With zeal.
Okay. Wow. No, that's reason. That's reason. Zreason means with zeal, but the ashvasa means their frame of mind. They're in a state of fear. They do what they're supposed to do. It's not a joke. This is serious business. Ashvasa means over here in the English on Sfari it says anxiously. Anxiously
says the same thing. Anxious? Anxiously. Yeah.
Anxiously. All right.
I have the article in front of me.
Okay, Anxiously, okay. Anxiously it has more of a connotation of being nervous more than fear. Over here I have another translation, a very good translation, a very whole sefer on Akdamos. And he translates it here with trepidation. That's a whole different flavor of the word. All right, fine, let's go further. Are we missing over here a line? Okay, I have over here in my edition another line. No, I'm sorry, I skipped. I apologize. I skipped a line. I'm sorry, I skipped. Mevorachin bruchi yikorei b'chol l'shan l'chishusa. And what do they say? They say, Baruch kivoid Hashem imekoymoi. Okay, they bless. Baruch. Mevorachim is they bless. Baruch yikorei. His honor. Hashem's name. Baruch shem kivoid. Yikorei means honor. Kivoid malchuso. And then b'chol l'shan l'chishusa. In every whispered language. Okay, l'shan means language. And l'chishusa means alachash, means a whisper, which means it means an expression. So this is something that is very new to us, because you know, every single day, three times a day, we say kadosh, 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 baruch kivoy Hashem mekaymai. And when we say these words, we're under the impression that the malachi hasharis only know one language. The only language that they know is Hebrew, l'shan hakodesh, kadosh, 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 baruch kivoy Hashem mekaymai, Hashem yimloch li'olam voed. And here in the Akdamas it says that when the Malachi Asharis, they say Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimikoimai, they say it in every possible language.
I thought they didn't know Aramaic. I thought the Malachim did not know Aramaic.
So that it could mean, so that is a good question, and some learn that the only language they do not know is Aramaic. But they know French, and they know Spanish, and they know Farsi, and they even know English. The only language that they have a mental block is Aramaic. Why? Because Aramaic is a corruption of Lashon HaKodesh. The only Malachim are pure creatures. Sure. Do you need any help with anything?
Well, the boys are helping. Thank you.
How long?
Just one.
Okay, in many multiple languages. Okay, it says over here the b'chol shal l'chishusa means in many malachim very pure. They only speak pure languages. So when you have Aramaic, which is a corruption of Hebrew, this they don't understand. This they shy away from. Okay, next me'asar be'shechinte from the place of Hashem's presence. Me'asam be'shechin, from the place of Hashem's Shechina, the lotzarch b'chishusa, which needs no seeking. What does that mean? You don't have to look for it. Hashem's, in other words, this is a very interesting idea. Ari Miklat. In the Ari Miklat, we learned not that long ago, it says there's a halacha of tochin l'cha haderech. It's a pasuk in the Torah, we learned this until not that long ago, is that on the crossroads, on Eretz Yisrael, there's a halacha, there's an obligation for Beis Din to put signs, miklat, 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 to tell you exactly where the Ari Miklat are located. Because you don't know where they are. You don't know where to go. So you need signs. There are certain things, places, that everyone knows where they are, you don't need a sign. You do not need a sign to tell you where to get to this destination. Everyone just, it's just self-evident where it is. It's self-obvious. And the ultimate place that you do not need a sign for is Hashem's base Shechina. It's an incredible chiddush that's been, this targum over here, Akdamas, every single line is telling you things that are chidushim, are novel ideas that if not for what it says here, you would never say it. And even that, even when it says it, now puts us on a wild goose chase to find the source for this. It says over here that Me'asa be'shechinde, Hashem's location of Shechina, de'lo tzorich b'chishusa, that does not need seeking. B'chishusa means to find it. You don't need
to search.
You don't need a sign. Ari Miklat, there's a sign. Tochin l'cha haderech. Put a sign. Why? Because you don't know where it is. But Hashem's Shechina, you know where it is. You don't need a sign for it. It's obvious where it is. That's a very deep idea. Okay. You know, I used to go to yeshiva. I still go there. I go there Friday night. I still down there every Friday night. They never had a sign. They never had a sign on the yeshiva. Where it is. It's a little yeshiva on Ocean Avenue, Teg, Torah Academy, Brooklyn. It's also called by the name of Ruach HaTorah. And all the years I daven there, there's no sign. You go down Ocean Avenue between I and J, you would never know. you would never know that in this nondescript alleyway, you open up the door, and here you are, you have a beautiful yeshiva, a beis medrash, a beautiful Aron Kodesh. You never know, there was never a sign. And the place was packed. And then you know, the neighborhood went, and then all of a sudden, one day I come there, and there's a sign. They finally put up a sign after being there for 15, 20 years. They put up a big a sign. And you know something? Ever since they put up the sign, it's not the same. When everyone knew where it was just, everyone knew where it was. There was no need for a sign. It was, there was a lot of life. And then when they put up the sign, I don't know, somehow, it's not the same anymore. You know who else doesn't have a sign? Binyamin Cohen Shul. Rabbi Binyamin Cohen Shul. He has a massive shul. They've done a lot of construction. It's on East 17th Street between on Avenue M. It's in the storefront. The way you get into the shul is through the parking lot, the municipal parking. You go in the back, there's a door you would never ever know. Open up the door, you walk in there, wow. Massive, beautiful Beis Medrash. They have a koilel in the morning and at night and afternoon. There's a lot of learning there. There's mamish, no sign. A pella, no
did
sign.
Did you see the new shul on? It's also hidden on Avenue M. It's right next to Apple Bank.
That's the shul. That is the shul. That's his shul.
That's, there's no sign there.
There's no sign. No, exactly.
Except
there's
no, it tells men here, women here.
Kenisa Lenashim. Rock b'shah only on shah loy b'chol, right? That's the shul that's what I'm referring to. That shul has been there. You know how long it's been there? That shul about 10 years already.
There is a sign if you read the Department of Building Permit.
All right, but there never was a sign. Now they reconstruct.
On the door is it?
Yeah.
The side of the door is a permit.
You know, they didn't have a permit.
They have a permit for the building.
Yeah, because they got into trouble.
Mayor, that's not a sign of a shul. Come on.
They got the truck. They're both very nice.
No, off the bat. I think this looks more fresh. I'm giving this to you. Yeah, you have to do this.
Okay, sorry about that. Let's get back over here. Okay, I gotta change locations here. Okay, so over here it says the place that is, this is a very big chiddush. There are certain places that Hashem does not need. It's self obvious where the location is. You do not need a sign. Tachem l'chal derech. Okay, next. Then we go further. Next. Nehem kol chel meroyma. The next words are Nehem. What does it mean, Nehem? They roar like a lion. Lor kol chel meroyma. What does chel? Chel means the host in Shemayim. All of the Malachi Hashem in Shemayim, they roar. Mekalsid b'chashashta. They praise Hashem with this, the same word we had before. That's the same word. It's a similar word. B'ashvasa. Here it's b'chashashta. It's a similar word. They praise Hashem with fear. Okay, it's like when you're very serious, you praise with an emotion of fear. Nehem, it roars. Kol chel meroyma, the entire heavenly assembly, they roar. Mekalsin, as they praise Hashem b'chashashta with an expression of fear. Next, nihira, yeah.
Rabbi, I have here a mitzvah, a cedar, and every posuk ends with
ta
or with so.
Right, that's part of the poetry, of the last letter. The last letter is a y ta. It represents the infinite cycle. The last letter of the aleph bays is tav, and the first letter of the aleph bays is aleph. So it represents the concept that we go in circles. We go, and when you get to the end, you start again. It's an infinite cycle. Okay, I like. I always this is a very nice and like a numeric gematria for this. We'll go through all the letters of the alephase. Aleph is one, right? The first letter is Aleph is one. Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes. Then you get to Yud, it's ten. Now you go to the decimals. Yud, Chof, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samach, Ayin, Pei, Tzadi, up to 90. Now you go to Kuf, 100. Resh, 200. Shin, 300. Tof is 400. What comes after 400? The end Chof. The end Chof is 500. What comes after, what's 600? The end Mem. Then comes 700, the end Nun. Then is the end Tzadi, no, the end Pei, sorry, the end Pei. And then the end Tzadi is 900. There are five end letters. Mansapach, there are five end letters. 500, 600, 700, 800, 900. What comes after the last letter? After the end Tzadi? What's the next letter? Aleph. What is Aleph? Same letter. Aleph. 1,000. So Aleph is 1. And Aleph, which is the same exact spelling. Aleph and Aleph are spelled exactly the same. Aleph, when you pronounce it Aleph, it's 1. When you pronounce it Aleph, it's 1,000. So when you go through all the letters of the alephase, you go 1 to 10, and then you go through the decimal from 10 to 90, and then you go through the four letters, Kuf, Resh, Shin, Tov, that's 100, 200, 300, 400, and then you have the five end letters, which are numerically equivalent to 500, 600, 700, 800, and 900, and then you up to what's the next letter? The next letter is the first letter, which is Aleph, which is pronounced Aleph. So the numbers, there are 27 letters in the alephase. There are the basic 22 plus the five extra N letters. Each of them has a numeric value, which takes you from 1 to 900. And the next letter, and those last numbers are in increments of 100. 100, Kuf, Resh, Shin, Tov. And then Man, Tzipach, the five N letters. And then comes Aleph, which is really Aleph, which takes you back, which is 1,000. So in Akdamos, it's to a degree, it's the same thing. It's Ta. Ta is the last letter. The last letter is Tof. That's the last letter of the Aleph base, and then comes Aleph is the first letter. So there's this. Okay, you're not including in this system the end letters, the Man Tzipach, but the idea is there. It's a circular gematria. All right, Nehem Kol Chelmer. And also, by the way, Rabbi Lez, if you notice, everything here is according to the letter of the Aleph base. Okay, when we started. It starts off with Aleph. Akdamos, then is Beis, Bevove, then is Gimel, Gevuron, then is Dalet, each is two letters, Dalet, Dioi, Hei, Hadar, then is Vav, Uvela, Zayin. Okay, so right now we're already up to over here, Mevarchin, Me'asai, Be'eshechintei, Delotzach, Lebechishu, so Nehem Kol Chel Meroimo, Bekalsin, Bechashashta. Now we're up to over here. Nihira malchuse l'dor v'dorli afrashta. Now what does that mean? Nihidin is shine. Nihira means to is like a ze'er. It means a glow. It means a light. Nihira, there is a light. Nihira malchuse l'dor v'dorli afrashta. His kingdom shines for all generations. Okay, le'afrashta. What does le'afrashta mean? It means forever. Mr. Rappaport, what do you have in the article for the word le'afrashta? What do you have the translation there?
Eternally.
The afrashta means eternally. Okay, I never heard that word before. Le'dar v'dar
means from generation to generation.
That's dar v'dar. Okay, that's dar v'dar. Nihira means to shine. Malchusei le'afrashta. It means forever. Now this, what does this correspond to? Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Voed. Now, this is a very interesting translation, because when we say Hashem Yimlech, it means Hashem will be king. And here, it doesn't say that. Here, when we translate the words Hashem Yimlech Li'olam Vo'ed, it says Nihira, light. Hashem's Malchus is described here as an expression of light, L'dor V'dor. So we say Li'olam Vo'ed, forever. Here it doesn't say forever. Here it says generation to generation. There's a difference between describing time in terms of generations versus describing time as forever. When you talk about
his translation here.
Yeah.
I don't know how you explain it clearly. Forever and ever? Isn't forever and then the word ever again redundant?
So it's
a translation right. On the screen.
Oh no, the translation on the screen is a very loose translation. We've always had issues with this translation. This I have no idea where they got this from. Not so reliable where they got the translation from. I have no idea. It's a nice starting point. It doesn't necessarily mean it. Every single word here is subject to an enormous amount of interpretation. So if you notice, we have the entire kedusha. We had the word mevarachin brichi korei becholish brichi korei is baruch kivoyd Hashem mimekaymai. And we had before last week we learned telosa. Where did it say kadosh 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 Hashem teheris yikar milei kol ara litaloise kedushta. Three times kedusha. Kadosh 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 Hashem tzevakos. Miloy chol haaretz kivaydai. So this expression yikar milei kol ara litloise kidushta is the translation of kadosh 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 Hashem tzivakos miloy chol haaretz kivaydai. This expression of that we just learned right now, baruch kivayd Hashem imukaymai, is mevarchin brich yikarei. So this is Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimekaymai. And now we just learned Nihira Malchusei Lidor Vador Leafrashta is equivalent to Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Vo'ed. Okay, so we're going through over here a very elaborate description of what the Malachim look like and what they're saying. And the translation and the ideas that are being expressed over here are obviously corresponding to these three expressions of Kadosh, 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 Baruch, Kavod, Hashem, Yimloch. But there's a lot of embellishment and a lot of ideas that are said here that do not appear anywhere in the Siddur. And they don't appear in Navi either. And where is this all coming from? These chidushim. This chidush is that to say that Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Vo'ed to describes Hashem's malchus in terms of light. Okay, it's very poetic. It's very nice. But what does that mean exactly? Where does that come from? And here to describe time in terms of generations Lidor Vador, instead of describing time in terms of just zman. A generation means children. You have children, and the children pass on to the next generation. It's a different way to describe time. When you describe time, how does the average person describe time? You talk about, okay, what's going to be in 20 years from now, 30 years, 100 years from now. You don't describe time in terms of generations. It's a different way to focus on time. You're going to teach something to your children, and your children are going to give it to their children and to their children. It's a different focus. A different perspective in looking at the concept of time when you describe time in terms of generations. Okay, next line. Sedida v'hoin kidushte v'chad chol fashata. Okay, sedir means it is arranged. The word sedir means seder. V'hoin, amongst them, kidushte, the kedusha, v'chad chol fashata, and when they finished their time, Siyuma de la olam v'oif lo lishvuasa. It is over, assuming that it is over forever. And v'oif not even after 7 years. Now this comes from Yaakov Avinu. You know that we know Yaakov Avinu when he fought with the Sar Shel Esav. The Sar Shel Esav said to Yaakov Avinu, Shalcheini, Shalch ki olo hashochar. And Rashi on that pasuk says, my time has come to sing Shira. If you don't release me now, I'll never have another opportunity. Okay, this is a very deep idea, which basically means that Malachim, they have one shot, one chance. They come into existence, and their entire existence is just a state of waiting to fulfill their tafkid. And if they miss that tafkid, they miss that moment, it's gone forever. There's no way they can make it up. Yaakov Avinu fought with the Sar Shel Esav on that night, and for whatever reason, the following morning was the moment that these malachim were waiting for. This the Sar Shel was waiting for since its creation. It came into existence. It was waiting for that moment. And if Yaakov Avinu would not let go and release the Malach would not be able to go to Shemayim and sing Shira, and it would be a lost opportunity forever. This is the only chance that it has. The only chance it has in this world. Now the question, do human beings, this is a very big, these are all Kabbalistic concepts, which I have no idea what I'm talking about, but you have the same question by human beings. Do human beings have only one opportunity to do what they're supposed to do? Okay, a person comes into this world and you have a purpose. And you don't know when the purpose, no one knows what their purpose is. No one knows what their purpose is, no one knows when their purpose, that moment is coming. You have no idea. And if a person messes himself up, he doesn't behave himself and he puts himself into an environment or into a situation where he's on the wrong path in life, when that moment comes and you're not there, it's gone. Question, do you have an opportunity to get back on track later on in life? Okay, there was a special moment that was meant for me. I missed it. Okay, I get a second chance. Miss a second chance, a third chance. How does all of this work? I have no idea. How does all this work? By Malachim, we do learn that it's more rigid. It's more rigid because they don't have Bechir, they have less. Essentially, they don't have any Bechir, but they have definitely much less free will. So their opportunities are etched in stone, and if they mess up, they're done. They're toast. And this expression, now that what I just told you right now, you'll say, you know, that's very esoteric, and not everyone agrees with that. And no one ever came back to tell us what really goes on in Shemayim. These malachim, very esoteric. I could not agree with you more. This stuff to me makes me very, very, very uncomfortable. And I don't spend time on this. I don't even take it seriously. But in Akdamos, you can't avoid it. You can't avoid what it says here. The whole Klal Yisrael says Akdamos, and it says here, Sidira v'hoin kiddushto. This is now a summary. We've just gone through Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Baruch Kivoid Hashem. Mimikoimai. Hashem Yimloich Liolam Voed. And now the Python says something very shocking. This arrangement of these three things that we've just said, Kadosh, Kadosh, Baruch Kivoid Hashem Yimloch, is a Sedira, is a Seder, is an order, is an arrangement. Sidira v'hoin amongst the Malachi Hashores, Kiddushte, it is an arrangement of saying Kiddusha, and it's a one-time deal. The Malachim, when their day comes to say, V'chad, when, Chol v'shaita, when the moment is over, it's over. They're finished. Siyuma, they're finished. There's nothing more for them to do. Dila Olam, forever. And when we say that they've done forever, we mean it. The oif, not even. The oif law, these are two words which go together. The oif law, law means not. Oif means even. So the two words together mean not even. lishvu asa after 7 years. Now, it doesn't say 7 years. I shouldn't say that. Not even after seven. Now, there's another Kabbalistic concept. We in this world, we talk about the number seven, right? There are 7 days. Okay, big deal. So 7 days go by. You have another 7 days. Shemitah, 7 years. New 7 years go by. There's another Shemitah. So we take the number seven, and we somehow are able to define it. In Shemayim, there's no such thing as real time. Thus, but here's the question: what do you mean? There's no such thing as time. There has to be time in Shemayim. There has to be. If we read the Kedusha every single day, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakas, so it says there, first it says that they ask permission one from the other, and then they say three times the word Kadosh, then they say Baruch Kavod, and then they say Hashem Yimlach. There's an order. If there's an order, there's time. There has to be time, because you can't have a Seder, you can't have the word Sedira is a contradiction to saying that there's no such thing as time. The fact that there's an order automatically means, but there is no time. So obviously what it means is there's no such thing as time as we know it. There's a different type of time, which, again, this whole thing is spooky, way out stuff. But the point here is when it says Lishvu Asa, this is a concept which means never. Because time is defined in Shemayim in terms of seven. Just like in this world, time is defined in terms of seven days, 7 years. Bris Milah is Uvayom HaShemini, after seven. The Moadim are 7 days. In Shemayim, there's also seven. There's not days, because there's no such thing as time the way we know, but there is a concept of time. And that concept of time is defined with the word Lishvu Asa, seven. And it means over here, the Sidira v'choin kidushte, they arrange the Kedusha, v'chad cholfa shaita, and when they make this arrangement, and when their time is done, they're done. Siyumo del olam. They're finished forever. V'oifla. Not even after an era of Zman. It's not going to happen ever again. Okay, Avad Yikor Ach Sante. Now this part is now a new section. Okay, this now begins a new section. The letter Ayin. And it begins describing Klal Yisrael. Until now, you see, I didn't have the Sefer last week, so I didn't do you justice. But there are different sections. This part now, Adav, there should really be a line. There should really be a break, a nice break over here. And this now begins a new section. This section begins to describe the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Until now, we were describing in the last nice section the greatness of Hashem as expressed by the Malachi Hasharis. The Malachi Hasharis, they express and they describe Hashem's greatness. Now we're going to a new section where we're going to describe the greatness of Klal Yisrael. This one line, it says here, Adav Yikar Ach Sante Chavivin Devik Vata. Now, what does this mean? It means the Adav means but. Okay, Adav means but. That's all it means. It means but. Yikar, the honor of Achsante, his inheritance. The Jewish people are considered to be the Yerusha of Hashem. The honor of Hashem's inheritance is more precious to Hashem than the Malachi Hasharis. You know why? Now, this is something very, very powerful, very beautiful idea. Because the Vik Vata, it's kavua, it is constant. It appears over here is a very deep idea. We're coming to compare the difference between Klali Yisrael and the Malachi Hashores. The Malachi Hashores come and go. They come and go here today, gone tomorrow. Every day there are new Malachi Hashores which come into existence. They wait to do their thing. And when they do their thing, they praise Hashem, they're done, and they disappear. So it's wonderful. The Malachi Hashores are angels. You know, it's very spooky, very holy, very, very pure. But once they're done, they're done. They only come into this world, into the existence for the moment. Klal Yisrael doesn't leave. They stick around. And they repeat, and they grow, and they give honor to Hashem continuously. And that's what this line over here says. After we built up a description of the Malachi Hashores, and they say Kodosh, Kodosh, Baruch, Kavod, Hashem, Yimlech, and then we say, and then we say, but they have a flaw. And that is, their whole arrangement is just once, and they're gone. Adav! But, Yikar Achsante, the honor, the glory of Hashem's inheritance. Who is Hashem's inheritance? Klal Yisrael. It's Chaviven. It's much more precious to Hashem than all the Malachim. You know why? Because this one word is the cornerstone of the whole thing. Divik Vata. Vik Vata means Kavua. Kuf Beis Ayin. Permanence. The Jewish people, they praise Hashem and they praise Him again and then again and then again, and each time they praise Him they go up higher, the greater depth, the greater appreciation. As you develop, as you mature, you grow, you become greater. Alright, let me just leave you the one yisoid, one very important yisoid. Why we literally could very basic, I probably listen 100 times, but it's because I review. Everyone knows there's an expression called HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does that expression come from? We refer to Hashem with the term HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes from Kedusha. The first word HaKadosh is Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The second word comes from Baruch Kivoid Hashem Imekoymai, Baruch. And the third word Hu is Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vo'ed. Who means it's consistent, it's continuous. Hashem Yimloch, Hashem is the King forever. Who, as Chazal say, Behaviyoso Yehei, it continues onward forever. So the expression that we say every single day, we use all the time, we refer to Hashem with the terminology, the term HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is really a combination of the Kedusha. And the Kedusha is Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And the second line of Kedusha is Baruch. And the third line is Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Vo'ed, which is the Malchus is continuous. So that's where it comes from. So when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're imitating the Malachim. We imitate anyway, because we say every single day, we imitate the Malachim all the time. We say Baruch Kriya Shema, we imitate the Malachim. When we say Kriya Shema, when we say Shemona Esrei Chazor Sashas, we say Kedusha, and then Kedusha Desidra. We Nachmo, we say it again. Okay, everybody, so we're going to stop over here. Thank you very, very much for coming, learning with me. Hope you got something out of this. Have a wonderful night.
We did.
Okay, all the best. Blazer, thank you for coming.
Very, very, very good.
Okay. Zai Gesund, everyone. Have a good night. See you tomorrow. Zai Gesund.
So, do you need
No. Let me go look. Maybe he answered me by now. I sent him a message today. I sent him a message after the shiur. When I was actually talking to you, I sent him a message. He usually responds to me immediately.
Hello?
You hear me? Mayor, you hear me? Mayor, you hear me? Hello? Mayor, you hear me? Meyer. Mm.